You know the feeling. You type a message on your virtual keyboard, press send, and realize the message does not quite say what you meant it to. A quick stop to IKEA morphs into a trip to Ukraine. The text intended to tell your daughter of plans to go to Disney informs her instead that you plan to divorce. Or that quick message to your boss, one sec, turns into one sex. The culprit is called autocorrect, when your smartphone helpfully inserts what it thinks your thick fingers meant to write. And it's not without its flaws. Ben Zimmer, the New York Times Magazine's On Language columnist, writes about some bizarre autocorrect concoctions in the upcoming issue of the magazine. So we want to hear yours. Come on, confess. Tell us your embarrassing, odd, or strangely true autocorrections. 800-989-8255 is the phone number. The email address, if you dare, is talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website and find a link to the latest On Language column. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Ben Zimmer with us from our bureau in New York. Nice to have you with us today.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me on.
And for those of our listeners who are still typing in Morse code, explain what autocorrect is.
Well, autocorrect is a feature that you'll find on smartphones. The phones these days will try their best to guess what you mean to say when you might not be typing it quite right. And, of course, this happens quite a lot these days, especially with the iPhone from Apple, the Android phones from Google, and also Microsoft's Windows phones that use these virtual keyboards. So instead of having a hard keyboard to type into, you have to do your best on tapping on this keyboard that's made up of pixels. And it can cause problems for a lot of users who might not quite hit the right key. And so there's a constant attempt to try to keep you on path and to read what you are typing into the phone and make it correct. And it works a lot of the time, but when it doesn't work, it can really fall down on the job, and that's when we notice some really startling and sometimes hilarious mistakes that can happen.
Well, Philippa in Boston emailed us, "I'm a high school senior applying to college. I was very amused when my iPhone changed Harvard to garbage."
Yeah, that could get you into trouble there.
And you're the on-language correspondent. You're not the tech geek. How did you get involved in this?
Well, you know, this is an interesting intersection of language and technology. And, you know, I've been interested in this sort of thing for quite a while, going back to when word processing programs would try to spell check your work. But sometimes the spell checker would get completely messed up by what you were typing and give you a suggestion that you really didn't want. And some people sometimes just take these suggestions without thinking about it. So I'd been collecting examples like this for a while. But now, just in the past year or so, this whole phenomenon has really exploded because so many people have smartphones now. The iPhone and the Android phones and now the Windows phones are hugely successful. So a lot of people are trying to deal with this interface that will lead to some amazing linguistic goofs.
Well, this is, for example, from Gary in Overland Park, Kansas. "In a prior job at a large university, I was sending a mass email announcement to faculty and staff to tell them that one of our key administrative systems was unavailable. In the closing, I attempted to say, 'I am sorry of any inconvenience this may have caused.' I misspelled inconvenience. The autocorrect procured the following line, 'I am sorry for any incontinence this may have caused.' My error was reported in a Harvard publication of an example of why we must be careful with the autocorrect feature. It took me years to live down that embarrassment."
Yeah, it's the funniest example seemed to happen when you're sending off an email to colleagues at work, or perhaps a loved one, or perhaps it's parents and children, some sort of social interaction where there's a lot of opportunity for embarrassment. And so a little mistake like that might be hard to laugh off. But of course, we can look at all these mistakes that people are making and just think, well, at least it wasn't me who made that mistake.
This from Patrick in Palo Alto. "When we type our daughter's name, Maeve, into the cell phone," and that's spelled M-A-E-V-E, "it autocorrects to NAFTA. It's resulted in an unusual nickname for a 10-month-old girl."
Well, see, that's a good example of you can actually figure out what the phone is trying to do in that case. It doesn't have that name, Maeve, in its dictionary. There's lots and lots of names, proper names, and the dictionary can't necessarily encompass all of them. It happened to have a word that was close to it, but it's close in that the M is close to the N when you type on this virtual keyboard.
It anticipates that you've made a mistake.
Yeah, it's constantly looking to see, well, if this isn't in the dictionary that's on the phone, then what could you possibly mean? And it will look at things like what keys are close to the keys that you typed, on the assumption that you are having a fat finger error, that you are typing, you're trying to hit one key and you accidentally hit another one.
Yeah, I was texting somebody about the show we're doing today and earlier in the program, and said it was about the Battle of Tora Bora, and it autocorrected to Tora Nora.
Right. That's another case. You know, Tora Bora, Maeve. You know, this was a problem, again, back in the days of when Microsoft Office was trying to build its spell checker. They decided, well, okay, we'll try to put in all of these proper names, names of people, names of places, but it was really hard for them to keep up. So, for instance, when they released Microsoft Office 2007, they had included the name Osama, but a senator from Illinois named Obama had not quite reached the fame to include it in the spell check dictionary. So if you typed in Obama, it would suggest Osama for a little while until they added that to the dictionary.
That's a patch. Anyway, we're talking with Ben Zimmer, the online language columnist for the New York Times Magazine. Call us with your autocorrect glitch, 800-989-8255. Email talk at npr.org. Heather's on the line calling from Tampa.
Hello.
Hi, Heather. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, on my BlackBerry, one time I put crap and then I put ha 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 without spacing, and it automatically goes to Haitians. So my text was crap Haitians.
So, yeah, you get into trouble for that.
I did, yeah. I was like, whoops, oh, no.
So you didn't get a chance to proofread any of that before you sent it?
No.
All right, Heather, thanks very much for the call.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Here's an email from Colleen in Charlotte. My husband sent me a touching text message in which he purported to call me his little princess. The message I received, I'm his little primate.
Yeah, that, again, you know, between loved ones, there's a lot of pitfalls there. You know, I saw someone trying to call his significant other babe, and it ended up as baboon. In that case, it seems like the phone was trying to look at the first letters of it and auto-complete it. So maybe if you type B-A-B-O by accident instead of E, it will fill in the rest of the word as baboon. But, of course, you don't want to call your loved one a baboon.
Let's see if we go next to Matt. And Matt's with us from Birmingham, Alabama.
Yeah, hey, Neil. I recently went to visit a buddy out in Taos, New Mexico. Each time I texted a friend or family member to say where I was, the autocorrect said I was in Tacos and not Taos.
Well, maybe you spent the entire vacation in a fast food Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, something like that. It was a little strange.
Thanks very much for the call, Matt.
Thanks, Neil.
Bye-bye. The phenomenon you talk about, Ben Zimmer, well, it's really been accelerated by a website that you write about as well in your piece, damnyouautocorrect.com.
Yeah, that website has been a huge success since it launched last fall. Almost immediately, within days, this website was getting, you know, at least 1 million page views a day, hundreds of submissions every day, kind of overwhelming the creator of the site, Jillian Madison. But she's actually parlaying that into a book deal, a book that'll be out in March. And so clearly there's a huge appetite for this kind of humor, this unintentional humor that our phones are creating for us.
Let's go next to Maynard. Maynard with us from Oakland.
Hello, yes. I'm kind of a Luddite, and my phone is using T9. That doesn't have a full keyboard. And when I type the word geranium in, which happens to be the name of a preschool, my phone thinks it gave me a very confusing stew of consonants, which I finally discovered was the word Herzegovina.
The second half of a country that is a part of former Yugoslavia.
Indeed. My phone apparently is much more international and not into flowers.
Well, I hope your children managed to find their way to school.
Yes, I did not drop them off at Herzegovina by mistake.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. As you look at this phenomenon, Ben, it tells us something because each of our phones is individual. It tries to interpret what we have been typing. It's based on our history as well. So each of these phones is going to come up with a different autocorrect garble.
That's true. That's true. It's what they call it learned behavior, so that your phone is actually learning as you type and trying to keep track of the things that you get wrong. But also, if, for instance, you type something and it gives you a suggestion, you say, no, I don't want that, then the phone will try to be smart about it and not offer that suggestion to you in the future or not do an autocorrect. But so that means that everybody's phone has different behavior like this, and it can actually be hard to reproduce some of these. Some of them seem pretty obvious, and you can figure out exactly what's going on. But at the top of the show, you mentioned the one about the father sending the text, your mom and I are going to divorce next month, when he meant to type Disney. I still am scratching my head about that one. I don't really know how you can try to type Disney and end up with divorce, but I'm assuming that that actually happened, and that submission to Damn You Autocorrect was not a fake.
Because they do try to establish whether it might be possible that that might have happened.
They do. They have a team of folks who try it out on all their phones, so they get a range of different behavior, and usually they can figure it out or reproduce it. But yeah, that's one of the unusual aspects of this, is that everybody's phone will act slightly differently.
We're talking with Ben Zimmer about his most recent On Language column for the New York Times Magazine. You can wait for your newspaper on Sunday. You can go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This from Catherine. I'm a photographer and was texting my boyfriend, who's also a photographer. Instead of writing out raw files, a format of shooting, I tried to write a shorter version, R-A-W, all in capitals, then a small S. My iPhone changed this to Rawalpindi, which is a military headquarters city in Pakistan.
Well, that's a real stretch on that one. It's interesting that a lot of these happen when people put two words together without a space, and that version without a space is just happens not to be in the dictionary. So if you type White House without a space between white and house, you might end up with whorehouse as the suggestion. That's just one of many embarrassing cases where it's just a matter of what happens to be in the dictionary, what forms are in the dictionary, and if it's not, you might end up with something wildly inappropriate.
A friend, this from an email in Kathy, a friend recently attempted to respond to some good news from me with a hearty woo-hoo, W-O-O-H-O-O. This was corrected, apparently, by the rabbinical division of iPhone to Elohim, which is the Hebrew name for God. Now, of course, we say Elohim when any good news comes our way.
That's great. I mean, and that actually points to another shortcoming in these phones. When people are texting, they very often have these interjections, which might have a lot of repeated letters, woo-hoo, or another caller mentioned ha-ha-ha, or whatever, these various interjections. And it's very hard for the phone to predict which ones are just mistakes for something else. And so, one that I mentioned in the column was, yeah, spelled with four H's, changes to uranium. And you can actually see how that works because, again, it's that fat finger phenomenon where the letters kind of happen to match up. But that's a big problem with these phones, is trying to figure out with these emphatic interjections with repeated letters that, of course, will not be in the dictionary.
Next is Maggie. Maggie with us from Pittsburgh.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Maggie. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I was texting about our volunteer protocol and thought it would be a good idea as a final step when we were interviewing volunteers that they have a follow-up with the nurse. So when I texted in, I think a final step should be a nude interview versus nurse interview. That was a little scary and a little strange, but I'm glad the only person I sent that off to was the volunteer coordinator.
So it didn't result in a flood of applications.
Or lack thereof.
Thanks, Maggie.
So thank you so much for letting me share that story.
Sure. This from Kristen. Mardi Gras was autocorrected to Marxist Head.
Wow.
And Shelley in Salt Lake City says, sorry, that time does not work for me, but thank you for trying to tongue me in.
Yeah.
While trying to set up an appointment. And these are some of the examples or examples like that in Ben Zimmer's comment. And we've not had a chance to talk with you, Ben Zimmer, in fact, since you took over from William Safire. And this is, of course, a column that a lot of people had a great reverence for. I wonder, how has it gone for you?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I was officially inherited the column last March, and I've just had a wonderful time. And it's always fun to talk about something like autocorrect, like we're talking about now, where it's a language issue, but it's something that people are coming to grips with every day, coming to grips with this new technology. And, so I love reporting on things that have to do with language and pop culture or technology, but then also looking at the deeper roots for how these things develop.
William Zaffer, generally more interested in etymology.
Oh, well, I'm very interested in etymology as well, and I work a lot of that in. I also keep an eye on politics, as William Zaffer, of course, was quite good at doing. I try to be as eclectic and far-ranging as I can in my coverage of language issues.
That's a big mantle to inherit, though.
Big shoes to fill, I'm constantly reminded, yes.
I have to ask, do you own a smartphone? Is there a favorite autocorrect story of your own?
I do have it, but I have a Droid, which is one of the Android phones.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually have turned off my autocorrect on that phone because I figure if there are going to be mistakes, they better be my own rather than caused by my phone. So it is possible to turn this off. Not everybody realizes it because it's just by default is set on. So if it's really bothering you, then that's always an option for you.
Ben Zimmer, we're delighted to speak with you, and continued good luck with the column.
Thank you so much.
Ben Zimmer, the New York Times Magazine On Language columnist. You can find a link to his upcoming column on our website at npr.org. Tomorrow, it's Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here with a look at Earth's shifting magnetic field, plus plans for a more intelligent electrical grid. That's all tomorrow on Talk of the Nation Science Friday. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.